Well, our scripture reading this morning is from the Old Testament prophet Jeremiah. And if you'd like to follow along in the Pew Bibles, that's Old Testament, page 682. And this is Jeremiah's famous parable of the potter and the clay. Jeremiah 18, verses 1 through 11. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord: arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will let you hear my words. So I went down to the potter's house, and there he was working at his wheel. And the vessel he was making of clay was spoiled in the potter's hand, and he reworked it into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to do. Then the word of the Lord came to me: O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter has done, says the Lord? Behold, like the clay in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. If at any time I declare concerning a nation or a kingdom that I will pluck up and break down and destroy it, and if that nation concerning which I have spoken turns from its evil, I will repent of the evil that I intended to do to it. But if at any time I declare concerning a nation or a kingdom that I will build and plant it, and it does evil in my sight, not listening to my voice, then I will repent of the good which I had intended to do to it. Now, therefore, say to the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, thus says the Lord: behold, I am shaping evil against you and devising a plan against you. Return, everyone, from his evil way, and amend your ways and your doings. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Well, it is a little warm in here with the air conditioner not working, but it takes me back to early days. Back east, New England, old churches that never heard of air conditioning. And they had plenty of those cardboard fans in the pews, and people made use of them. Well, next week we will have air conditioning back and it will be fine. But right now, it's not that bad, really. I've experienced worse. One of the many advantages and pleasures of serving a senior congregation, but one of the advantages that I can use an illustration to open my sermon, and I can expect that most of you will be able to remember it. Let's go back to the TV show I Love Lucy, and there is a scene, you probably already know what I'm going to be talking about, where Lucy is hired at a candy factory. You all respond. You all remember that. Lucy is there with Ethel, and they've been given the task of placing the finishing touches on these pieces of candy as they come down this conveyor belt. And at first, it's going fine. You're putting the pieces on, and then the conveyor belt begins to speed up. And very quickly, Lucy can't do it all, but she knows that if any of the candy gets by her, she will lose her job. And so she's doing as best she can, then she starts stuffing them into her mouth and in her pockets and down her blouse. And it's a comedy classic. Well, that scene kind of resonated in my mind when I read an article in a magazine about Steve Bailey of Lebanon, Pennsylvania. Steve Bailey is known as the Choco Valentino. He is known as the Candy Man. He works at the Hershey's Candy Factory. And Steve has the job of quality control. Steve's job, now they produce about 35 million chocolate candy kisses every day. And Steve's job is to examine those and make sure that no defective chocolate candy kisses get past him. And now it seems like a pretty incredible job. Fortunately, Steve says most of the candy that comes through, the high percentage come through, are perfectly fine. But there are a few that are defective. And so he has to look at, fortunately, he only has to deal with about 20,000 candy kisses every 60 seconds. And there was a photograph in the article of Steve standing there as his conveyor belt of all these chocolate candy kisses, the unwrapped kisses are going by. And he's examining them to see if they're the right shape, they're not too small, or if they're not tilted. And if he finds any, he scoops them out and he places in what's called a catch can. Later on, they go to what is called the rework. And in the rework, those candies that have been taken off the assembly line, those that have been deemed not perfect, don't meet the high-quality standards of Hershey, they are taken and they are melted down. And that chocolate is then reintroduced into the other melted chocolate, and the process begins again until finally perfection is reached. Now, that led me to this passage from Jeremiah and the parable of the potter and the clay. But instead of chocolate kisses, we're looking at a potter working at the wheel. Now, this is an ancient thing, making a pottery on a wheel. It goes back, thousands of years. Early cultures all used the wheel. In Jeremiah's day, it was two stone wheels, a larger one and a smaller one, on a vertical axle. And you, using foot power, the large stone was turned, and then the top stone was turned, and that was where the clay was placed and where the potter would begin to shape a vase or a pot or whatever that was needed at that time. The potter was an essential part of every village. Every village needed to have a potter because the pots were used for everything. And so he had a very important job. And so Jeremiah is told to go down to the potter's house and watch the potter working. How many of you have seen a potter working at a wheel? Good. Almost all the hands have gone up. How many of you have actually thrown a pot? That's the term they use for actually getting in there with the clay and using your fingers and stuff. They call it throwing a pot. I see some more hands have gone up. Yeah, I've done it myself as well. It's fun. It's fun to get that soft, slimy clay between your fingers and try to shape something. But it's also frustrating because what you imagine that vase should be often doesn't look very good. And in the parable, Jeremiah says that the potter working at his wheel found that the object of his attention was spoiled. It was spoiled in the potter's eyes. And so he reworked it. All right? He reworked it into another vessel. Now, what do we learn from this parable and from Steve Bailey and his chocolate candy kisses? Well, we learn, first of all, that the potter and Steve Bailey, they all are looking, they're very proud of their work. They want to produce the very best that they can. They're looking for perfection. The second thing we learn is that not everything meets those high standards. Apparently, there are things, occasionally things that fall short of that standard. And in the case of the chocolate kisses, those that are not deemed acceptable are put into melted down, and the pot, the clay that's not working, is reworked and put back into the clay, the mix, and then brought back up and put back on the potter's wheel to be reformed and remade. The other thing we learn is that those pieces that are, particularly in the case of the candy, they go to what's called a rework, where they are melted down and then brought back up into be used again. The fourth thing we learn from that is that process of the rework is at the discretion of the potter. It said that, let me read that passage again. Behold, the potter was working at the wheel, and the vessel that he was making of clay was spoiled in the hand of the potter. So he made it over, reworking it into another vessel as it seemed good to the potter to make it. It was a potter's decision as to what gets sent to the rework. And that's an important thing to remember, because as we talk more about this analogy, this metaphor of the potter and the clay and how it applies to us, we're going to see that it's all entirely in God's hands. One of the things we realize as we see the meaning of this parable for our lives, that we, in this analogy, we are the clay and God is the master potter. And it is our prayer that he will remake us, remold us. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Sing with me. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still. For the chocolate little candy pieces on that conveyor line, they're just moving along, okay? The clay is being formed by the potter. They're yielding to the skill of the potter's hands. How many of us are really yielded, waiting, and still? That's kind of where the analogy starts to break down a little bit, because we have a mind of our own. Now, sometimes the potter working with the clay will think that the clay has a mind of its own, but it really doesn't. But we have a mind of our own. We have free will, and we can choose to be affected by God. We can choose to be whether we want to follow God's will, but too often our will is opposed to God's will. Too often we find ourselves going in a direction opposite and away from God. And that becomes a problem for us. We find that we are spoiled, and it has nothing to do with God. We are perfectly capable of messing our own lives up. We can do that all by ourselves. And so we find that we have this shape, okay? We, as clay pots, one pastor had a sermon that he titled, God and Us Cracked Pots. And I guess that's what we are, because we are not perfect. We have cracks. We are imperfect vessels. And so, but we may have a fairly high opinion of ourselves as we go through life. We figure, well, I may not be a perfect pot, but I'm certainly better than a lot of the pots out there. I mean, look at me. I've got a pretty good shape. I've got some nice coloring, you know. Some of those other cracked pots are, you know, pretty bad. So we have this fairly high opinion of ourselves, even though we are flawed, even though we are cracked. We have those flaws. Paul says, everyone has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All of us are sinners. All of us are cracked pots. And even though we may think of ourselves as being fairly good-looking pots, in that reality, we are fallen far short of what God would have us be, what God has intended us to be. And so, God, in His mercy, wants to melt us down. That's and send us to the rework. And the way that works is sort of like this. I mean, we are feeling pretty good about ourselves. And then we hear that message, that voice of God saying, none are righteous, no, not one. None follows my will. None of you are doing what I need you to do and be. And so as that word comes to us again and again, our religious form, if you will, begins to soften. And we find that we are melted as we respond to God's word. And we see that we are not this proud, glamorous pot, but rather we are just part of the messy mass of humanity. We have gone into the rework. And that's a blessed thing to do, to be sent to the rework. We might think that, well, I don't want to be in the rework. But we find that Paul says that uses this analogy of the potter, Jeremiah's parable of the potter. And he uses his analogy primarily to answer the objections of some of the people in the letter to the Romans. You check letter to the Romans chapter 9, where Paul talks about this. And the people there are talking about this parable, and they're saying, you know, Paul, if you look at this parable, it appears that we are not responsible for our impure shape, our cracked ability. The blame goes to the potter. You know, we're not responsible. We didn't create ourselves. God created us. If you go into a shop and you see a pot on the wall and it's not perfect, it has flaws, do you blame the pot or do you blame the potter? And these critics are saying, well, you blame the potter. You blame God. God is not, I'm not to blame for the way I am. Well, Paul has an answer to that. And Paul says, who are you who replies against God? Shall the thing formed say to him who formed it, why have you made me this way? Has not the potter power over the clay that all originates from the same lump to make one a vessel of honor and the other a vessel of dishonor? And then Paul goes on to use the example of the Pharaoh. Remember in Moses, in the book of Exodus, Moses is sent by God to free his people. And he goes to Pharaoh, and he proclaims God's word to Pharaoh. And eventually the plagues are then come to further convince Pharaoh to let his people go. But it says that Pharaoh hardened his heart against God's word. He hardened his heart. And later it says that God said, I allowed him. God hardened his Pharaoh's heart. And then God says, I will have mercy on whom I choose to have mercy. And I will have compassion on whom I choose to have compassion. And whom I will, I harden. And what Paul is saying here is that Pharaoh was one of those individuals who resisted the word of God. He hardened his heart, and God allowed him to continue on through that process and harden into his defective state. Pharaoh's will, Pharaoh was hardened. His heart was hardened against God. Now, can we have our hearts hardened against God? Sure. We can be like Pharaoh. Our hearts can be hardened against God. We can resist God's word. We can ignore God's will in our lives. We can act as if God doesn't exist in our lives. We can do all of those things. And as we go through our lives, we find our hearts hardened against God. And I think we know people that have gone through their lives resisting God's word, and their hearts have been hardened. They find it hard to find love or find compassion or have empathy or to do those kinds of things that we would expect people who have a loving heart to be able to express. Their hearts have been hardened. But we do not have to be in that state. God takes us with his gracious hands out of that mix and puts us back on the wheel. And we are then remade. God wants to create the perfect vessel, and he wants that vessel in the image of Jesus Christ, the image of perfection. Now, we can't do that ourselves. We might try self-help. We might try, you know, all those things to improve our lives, but we can't make that final step. We cannot be as perfect as Jesus Christ unless God works through us and does it in us. And that's what God does in the rework. God takes us, puts us on the wheel, and then begins to craft and mold us into a Christ-like shape. There's a story of a businessman who owned a large factory building, and it had been abandoned for years. He'd been trying to sell it for years, and in the meantime, the building had become decrepit, the windows were broken, it had some structural flaws, and things were falling apart, there was garbage everywhere. He finally found a buyer. And the buyer comes in, and the gentleman, the owner of the factory, says, now, I know what you're seeing here, but he said, I will clean this place up. I will replace all the windows. I will repaint. I will fix all the structural flaws. I will clean it out. I will have it as perfect as I can make it. And the buyer said, oh, don't worry about that. I don't intend to use this building. In fact, I intend to tear it down. What I want is the site. And that's what God is really saying for us. You know, I don't want you the way you are. I just want the sight. I want your will. I want the very heart of you so that I can remake you and remold you into something, into the image of Jesus Christ. And so our prayer should be, have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Make me, mold me. As if I don't sing it, I don't remember the words. After thy will, while I am waiting, yield and then still. Be yielded. Be still. And remember that God only wants to recreate you so that you can be the perfect kiss. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.